David Icke, one of the most controversial thinkers of our time. Former professional football player and television broadcaster, David Icke is a prolific writer and public speaker. For 30 years, he has warned of the dangers of our society's inching towards a global Orwellian state in which a tiny few will control and manipulate the worlds of finance, government, media, policing, and surveillance of a microchipped population. He is the author of more than 20 books and has appeared widely on television documentaries and shows, including the Gaia TV series Deep Space, David Icke Dot Connector, and the feature documentary Renegade. Available to watch at gaia.com/fifthkind. David Icke's books are read all over the world. On a quiet and sedate British radio show, Desert Island Discs, the world-renowned and Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist Alice Walker, the author of The Color Purple, was asked which one book would she like to have on a desert island other than the Bible and the works of Shakespeare. Her answer stunned the audience. Her answer? Human Race, Get Off Your Knees by David Icke. Today, David Icke packs out speaking venues all around the world. His events, documentaries, and shows are watched by thousands on every continent. David believes that physical reality is an illusion, and what we think is the world is actually a holographic simulation or matrix created by a non-human archonic force to entrap the human perception in a state of ongoing servitude. His radical ideas echo the concepts of ancient literature, and in particular, the Gnostic Gospels. But what is an archon? What is an archonic or archontic force?
The Gnostic texts are constantly pointing out that they believe the Earth was being invaded from an off-planet species called the Archons. The Archons were like an intergalactic spiritual parasite that invades the minds and psyches of common people, turning them into a type of psychopath. The Gnostics believed that these negative entities had entered into the psyches of most of our leaders, whether they're kings or politicians. The Gnostics preach that one must never fall under the sway of a leader or a religion, as that would open one up to these alien forces.
I say that what's being described in Genesis is not the creation of the world, but the creation of the simulation. And the bloodthirsty God of the Old Testament, I say, is this archontic force. And the Gnostics described how, in very similar terms, although from another angle, as the Bible talks about how the sons of God, actually the sons of the gods in the original text, interbred with the daughters of men and basically changed the human race. What the Gnostics do is talk about basically the same thing in the Nag Hammadi texts, but they talk about the infusion as a result of this of what they call the counterfeit spirit. The counterfeit spirit is, for me, an expression of this distortion. And the common theme through the ages of some force of good and some force of what people call evil battling for supremacy. When people talk about they have a dark side, I say that's this counterfeit spirit. And the Native Americans have this concept of two wolves inside people. One is goodness and empathy and compassion. One is evil, violence, hatred. And they say, which wolf wins? The one you feed the most. And of course, we have a society in this fake reality specifically designed to make us feed the counterfeit spirit, which is this archontic distortion, as I call it, influencing human behavior and human perception. And it's a frequency band. It has to be, because it's a manifestation of the archontic frequency band.
In his letters, Paul is describing the Gnostic theory of alien intrusion, archon intrusion into the human race, and warning us about these extraterrestrial beings that seek to take over our souls. The Zadokim are the ultra-righteous wing of the Essene movement. They believed in human perfection. In other words, that humans can become whole, holy, and complete, just like Adam and Eve. In the Gnostic belief in the Garden of Eden story, Adam and Eve did not have bodies of flesh and blood. They had light bodies. And as a punishment, the Old Testament God Yahweh created coats of skin for humanity, the flesh and blood bodies that we inhabit. The Gnostics were intent on reclaiming our original primordial light bodies. And this is what the Zadokim referred to as perfection, returning to our original perfection. And this is very difficult for some people. They look at this and think, well, who are you to become perfect? Nobody's perfect. But the Zadokim believed that humans could transform themselves into perfect light beings, actually returning to our original condition. Gnosticism was attacked and destroyed by Christian Orthodoxy because it claimed it possessed the secret teachings of Jesus, of the living Jesus, the risen or resurrected Jesus. Gnosticism also promotes the idea that any individual can have a direct, personal, and visionary experience with the risen Christ. If you can have that, what do you need a pope for? What do you need a priest for? What do you need a church hierarchy for? You don't. The church sells the past Jesus, the past actions. Gnosticism says, let's go into the future. Let's move forward. Today, we are experiencing a dramatic revival of Gnosticism worldwide. We're recovering knowledge of the Gnostic Gospels, where we recovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, and now the public literature is starting to open up to the real secret teachings of Jesus, which is absolutely phenomenal.
So the more that you re-evaluate self-identity from little me to infinite me, the more we expand awareness out of the frequency band of the archontic force of the counterfeit spirit, the less that impacts upon our behavior and our perceptions. And we start to come from the heart. What did the Gnostics say? The counterfeit spirit hardened the hearts of humanity. Exactly. What it was designed to do. This is our connection to infinite awareness. They want us here and here. In the belly, emotion, low vibrational. They don't want us here. It's all systematic. And so, in the end, you can talk forever about the way it's all unfolded and how it's done. But how it's undone is that everything comes from it. This knows because it's connected to that level of awareness that does know. This society worships the intellect. The intellect is the village idiot compared with knowing, with wisdom that comes from here. And therefore, the whole education system, the media, all of it, all the sources of information are directed at the intellect, not the true self. And so we celebrate scientists because they have a great mind. But do they have a great consciousness beyond mind? And we can change that whenever we choose, because we're in control. The idea that some external force is in control is completely illusory. It is in theoretical control because it's persuaded us we have no power and no control over our lives and no control over events. And why we believe that, that will be our experience. But we can change it tomorrow, we can change it now, just a choice. To pull this together, I'm saying that what we call the reptilians and also the greys, others too, I say that they are manifestations of this archontic force. And how interesting that the Nag Hammadi texts talk about two of the ways that this archontic force, as I call it, takes form, is through a reptilian form and through a form that is like a grey fetus. And therefore, what the reptilians are doing and what the greys are doing in manipulating human society, and what the human, what I call hybrid elite, reptilian human hybrid elite that people call today's the 1%, I say that that elite and that reptilian grey grouping are manifestations in form of this archontic force. And ultimately, that force which takes no form, that distortion, is ultimately the one that is manipulating human society. Almost every account I've ever come across, certainly ancient, certainly the Nag Hammadi texts, and certainly people I've come across on the inside in the world today, there's a very, very common theme between all of them, and that's that this force feeds off human low vibrational emotion, different expressions of fear. And I say that it was when this hijack happened that fear came into the world. I say this archontic force, this counterfeit spirit, is what we call fear. And because you can only feed off that which you can make a frequency connection to, if you are fear and you need to absorb energy within your frequency, what energy do you need to create? Fear, and as much of it as possible. Look at the world. I mean, what is the Second World War in terms of fear? And other things like anxiety and all that, violence, conflict. And so if you look at the world from that perspective, yes, we can break down why certain wars are happening and what the sequence is. But from the archontic force point of view, war in itself is an end. Yes, they'll have an ideal sequence because of the way they're manipulating human society, but war in its end is an end in itself. The more war conflict you have, both individual conflict and collective conflict, then the more of this energy you are creating. Look at the animal kingdom. Look at the non-human kingdoms of this reality. They're killing fields. Everything survives by killing something else. Everything is constantly in fear of the next danger. And I say that is not by coincidence, but by design. So they're feeding off us. And also, the idea is to assimilate us, because very much in the theme of the Borg in the Star Trek series, who, by the way, used to fly around in black cubes, which is an ancient symbol of Saturn. So the assimilation is assimilating human consciousness into itself, just like the Borg talked about, assimilating people into its hive mind, connecting human awareness, human mind to artificial intelligence via technology. What does that create? A hive mind, an assimilation. And then comes the question, what is AI? I say that in its prime form, it is the archontic force. And we, the human race, in our intellectual stupidity, are building a technological vehicle for this force, which doesn't take form in the end, to not only take over human minds, but take the world over. Look at it. AI is taking the world over, and it's only just begun. So this is a whole other area about how the transhumanist agenda is the archontic agenda to assimilate the human race into itself.
If you look at human society and all the forces of communication, which equal perception, they're all basically trying to keep us into a low vibrational state by keeping us in fear, by keeping us in anxiety.
And distracted, terribly distracted.
Distracted, stressed, and with a very narrow sense of our identity and our own...
Our possibility.
Our own power.
Yeah.
So what that's doing is pulling us into a low frequency state. Now, this is where... which I've written about a lot over the years, this is where these bloodlines come in. These particular family bloodlines that go way back to the ancient world and incessantly interbreed with each other to, people say, you know, about royalty and about the aristocracy, or it's the blue bloods, they call them, or they interbreed to keep the genes up. And it's all, well, no, they interbreed with each other to keep a certain information frequency field through their generations, which if it was interbred and interspersed with the general population, then that particular archontic, I would call it, information field, bloodline, would be quickly diluted. So these bloodlines have been specifically created to process information in a way that does not have empathy and all those traits of the hair test of a psychopath. If you've got a computer and you program it in a certain way, it will decode information in that way. It won't decode information outside of that, only that way. Now, if we're going to get streetwise to the force that's manipulating human society, we've got to get streetwise to the fact it doesn't have the limitations, particularly emotional limitations, that we have. So you've got these particular bloodlines, which started out as out-and-out royalty, kings and queens of the ancient past, and the aristocracy. And then when, apart from, of course, we still have the royal family here and in one or two other countries, but there came a point where humanity in general started rejecting this in-your-face control by royal bloodline. So these bloodlines then went out into the dark suit professions of banking, of politics, of business, of media ownership, and all the institutions of science and medicine. And they've gone on manipulating ever since, but they still perceive themselves, even though they're not out and out called royalty, they still see themselves as a special bloodline, the bloodlines of the gods. This is where this whole concept of royalty and the divine right to rule comes from. So you've got these bloodlines which are of a particular information processing nature that become incredibly easy to for this archontic force to possess, because the frequency compatibility is so close. And you have them with this inability to express empathy and the ability to express all the character traits of psychopaths, which is why the world is as it is and why you find the psychopaths in the positions of power invariably. And then there's others. This is one of the ways the secret society networks operate, where they're keeping an eye on people. They do this at universities in this country, like Oxford and Cambridge, and in the Ivy League universities of America.
Yes, for the people with those very traits. Yeah, I've interviewed a couple of them.
Exactly.
Where they're a little tweaked. They don't have the normal kind of constraints of the personality.
Exactly. They're looking for them. I mean, you talk to Satanists, And what they will tell you, that those that are in the know, is that, you know, like the Anton LaVey kind of level of the Church of Satan.
Right.
That's it's not Sunday school, but you by comparison, it's Sunday school compared with the real deep levels of Satanism, which actually is the force behind these bloodlines.
Yes.
It's the way they interact with their masters, if you like, and these rituals. But what they're looking for in these kind of outer levels of Satanism are people with particular traits. And they'll give them things to do, and they give them, like, questionnaire tests. Mm-hmm. In this situation, would you do this? Would you do that? Would you do that? And if they show in these tests they have no empathy and would do horrific things, then they go deeper
they're
and deeper
recruited.
Into it.
They're recruited by intelligence.
Exactly.
They're recruited into academic circles, they're recruited into media. I am aware of this.
Exactly.
Yes.
So through this whole recruitment system of psychopaths, plus the inner core, who are basically interbreeding psychopaths, you concentrate power in the world right across the institutions of politics and banking and business and journalism in terms of media ownership and of academia and science and medicine. And you call the shots of society, because all these institutions are fiercely compartmentalized pyramids. You've got the tiny few at the top, there's your psychopaths. And then as you come down the pyramid in all these organizations, you're meeting more and more and more people who know less and less and less about what the organization's about. They're just adding their part without realizing how their part connects to everyone else's part. And you have then, therefore, a global structure of the imposition on the global population of a few people at the top with vast numbers playing their part.
Minions.
Pushing that control forward.
Yes.
While having no idea that's what they're doing.
Exactly. So let's talk about this. You know, everybody says, toward what end? What is it that these beings want to achieve in and of themselves at human expense? And what would they like to see this planet ultimately become?
Well, there's many, many levels to that. But imagine you are a distorted state of consciousness. Imagine a distorted vibrational state. That's you. That's what you are. Doesn't mean you have to stay like that, but it's what you are and what's driving everything you do. For more and more power, you want to pull more and more consciousness into that vibration. That's what we're seeing. We see it in human society. More and more people have been pulled over the years into this distortion. And what happens when they do that is this, on a consciousness level, this distortion is basically absorbing, assimilating into itself all the consciousness that it's got to vibrate at the same level vibration as itself. So it gets more
and more
powerful.
So it's a fuel, it's a food of source, it's a nutrient, a low frequency nutrient that resonates with the beings
It's like having a computer virus which starts off infecting one computer and then infects another computer, another computer, another computer until you've got a massive global computer virus infection that is affecting, you know, computers on a very large scale. What is that virus doing? It's absorbing the balance that those computers were working on into itself, so the computers start to manifest the traits of the distortion of the virus. This is precisely what is happening, and the idea is to absorb the human mind into this distortion via artificial intelligence and a technological connection of the brain body to AI. And, you know, not too long ago, if I'd have said that, you know, people said, "You're mad, mate, that would never happen." And you see, if you think about it, what has happened up to this point is human perception has been manipulated by control of information received, because people's perceptions come from information received. And if it's not through a personal experience, it's through some form of information communication. This stage we're entering now, unless we wake up fast, is bringing an end to the manipulation of human perception by control of information. And it's turning artificial intelligence into human perception. It becomes it. So what people think, how people feel, becomes whatever AI dictates.
You can visit gaia.com/fifthkind to watch a free interview with David Icke. Plus, get access to his feature documentary, Renegade, along with thousands more original shows and programs with your exclusive 7-day free trial.
The key to everything is perception. Humanity is living a reality that is an absolute illusion. But if you have another self-identity, which is that I am consciousness, I am awareness. My body is the vehicle for my awareness to experience, in a very brief way, this reality. Once you realize how reality works, you realize we are in control of it and not random events. We are not at the mercy of life. I am consciousness. I am infinite awareness, exploring the infinite forever, forever, and this is just one step on the road.